السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has granted us an amazing gift in the form of dua. Dua is in fact a gift from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And you cannot put a value to it. It helps a person in any and every problem to the extent that even if he doesn't know what the problem is, it will help him. In fact, the problem hasn't arrived yet. And through the barakah of dua, that problem can be removed. When a person makes dua, then he is putting an application in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all wise, He is all merciful, and He is all powerful. He is all powerful, that means He can fulfill any of your needs. And He is all wise. And a person who is wise and he is merciful, when someone comes with a request, he doesn't always fulfill the request. He looks at what is most beneficial for the person. If someone who is poor comes to a person who is intelligent, who is merciful, and who is all-powerful, who has a lot of means available, the person comes and he is poor, and he is saying that I really need someone. This person, I don't have any means of income. In my house, the roof has fallen in, and I need so many thousands of pounds. So please help me, to give me a loan or give. This person who has a lot of means, he is well off. And he has a lot of mercy, but he is wise as well. He may well think that, okay, if necessary, I will give him some money. But what is more beneficial for this person is that he doesn't have any means of income, any regular means of income. So let me also arrange for some regular means of income. Let me tell him that, I will give you this money as a loan. But as well, you come see me next Saturday, I will find a place for you to work. Instead of just fulfilling the request, he has looked at what is most beneficial for the person. Now, a human, however wise he is, he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know what is going to happen in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about a person. So when a person puts an application in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may be putting an application for one thing. He may be making dua that, oh Allah, someone has become ill, make them better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may well know that there is a bigger problem coming around the corner, which is more severe, and he will benefit more from its removal. So instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting this, removing this illness, he will remove that severity. In fact, there is no problem upon a person. A person is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, whatever the dua may be. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows that within 5 days, the next week, there is a problem that is coming upon the person. Through the barakah of that dua, Allah Ta'ala will say that he doesn't know that problem is there, so he is not making dua for it, he is making dua for something else. But I know that problem is about to strike him, let me remove it for him. Sometimes a person makes dua for one thing, and he thinks it is beneficial for me. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows that my servant, through his limited intellect, he thinks it is beneficial for him. In fact, it is not beneficial for him. It will be harmful for him in the long run. Maybe in this world, maybe in the hereafter. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala doesn't give him it. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala doesn't give him it. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is so merciful that he thinks that my servant has made a dua. How can I let it go without any return? So the person asked for something which was harmful for himself. He didn't know it. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala ignores that request and give him something else which is beneficial for him. Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that sometimes there is a person who makes some intentions, such as, for example, I want some leadership position, I want some business, I want to open this business. And he makes dua for it as well. He makes a lot of dua. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says to the angels, who are in charge of fulfilling many requests of the servants, that this servant of mine, he's asking for this, he's asking persistently for this. But I know from his nature, I know him better than anyone, I have created him. I know that if I fulfill this request of him, it will make him neglectful of deen and it will take him on the path to Jannah. Ignore this request of him. We will give him something else, inshallah. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that this person continues making dua for this, for his business or for something else. And sometimes he looks around and he sees as well that so-and-so, he has opened a business and he is flourishing. And so-and-so has opened a business and he is flourishing. And so-and-so has opened a business maybe in the same field that I wish to, and he is flourishing. That opportunity is now God. And he thinks to himself that I wonder what I did wrong. Whereas it is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's planning for him. So a person is never in loss when making dua. That is why in a narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَهْلِكَ أَحَدٌ مَعَ الدُّعَى. A person never perishes, never falls into destruction whilst he has the habit of making dua, provided he does it in the correct manner, provided he does it with keeping the conditions in mind. So a person should make dua. He should make dua whether he sees himself surrounded by problems or not. And if a person has a habit, then he will see his life becomes full of khair. The first thing he will see is that problems don't appear as often. When they come, then they go away much quicker. It is the barakah of all the du'as he has made in the past. When they come, it looks like a problem. By the end, he realizes that there are so many benefits attached to it. So a person should be very particular with making dua. He should be very particular with making dua. Now today I want to discuss one method of dua, which is extremely important and extremely beneficial, which is that a person should take out some time to read those duas which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. We have already discussed that you should take out time for your own du'as, and you most definitely should. But also take out some time to read the du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Now, if we were to put a number on it, it would be very difficult. But there is the number of du'as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, at least numbers in the hundreds. At least. And if someone goes and counts them, you may well have to add a third zero as well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, some ulama have said that if you look at the sheer number of du'as, one person, gained nubu at the age of 40, 23 years, even that 23 years, 10 years was in Makkah, 13 years was in Makkah Mukarramah, where the prime goal was survival, keeping yourself safe. Never mind worrying about anything else. That is why in Makkah Mukarrama, not a lot, Allah Ta'ala didn't send down a lot of commands. Fast. No, no. This command, do this, do that. These commands, why? Because in Makkah Mukarrama, the environment was such that surviving and remaining upon Iman and keeping yourself safe was difficult enough. So 13 years spent in that. After that, 10 years were in ease to some degree. Even in that 10 years, the first 6 years were full of poverty. But despite that one person, never mind all his other teachings, just when it comes to teaching the Ummah du'as, he leaves behind hundreds of du'as. He leaves behind hundreds of du'as. There is rarely an occasion in a person's day for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't taught us a du'a, and sometimes more than one du'a. So a person should take out some time to read the du'as taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, if there was anyone who knew how to get his du'a accepted, it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we use those words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make du'a, we can use our own words as well, nothing wrong with that. And I said, like I said, you should use your own words, because you should get into a habit of making dua in such a manner that you understand that you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we don't always when we use the Arabic words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there is no doubt the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have special qualities within them. For any dua, for any request of yours, out of all the possible words that can come to mind, the wording which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have used will have been the best possible wording, the most likely to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been termed jawami'. What does jawami' mean? So the ulama have given multiple meanings. One meaning of jawami' is that du'a which includes all the necessities for it to be accepted. It's an all-in-one package. It's an all-in-one package. You don't need to check when making that du'a that is it got the necessary requirements to be accepted? Does it have the necessary humility? Does it have the necessary pleading in the court? It's in the court of Allah. It's all in there. Now, to do that, one thing we can do and we should try to do is learn the different du'as taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one thing I will recommend, which is a very great favor of the ulama, is that they have made our job easy by compiling different booklets which contain the du'as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to us. For example, one very famous booklet is Al-Hizb al-Azam, compiled by a very great alim of the past, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali. What has he done? He's just compiled du'as mostly of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah Ta'ala, in every era, he guides the ulama, the people who are in charge of spreading deen. So he realized, he gathered all the du'as. And if you look at Al-Hizb al-Azam, it is thick. It has a lot of du'as inside. So Allah Ta'ala guided him a step further, and he realized that not many people are going to have the courage to read this. So he divided it into 7 days. So that a person will have to read one seventh of this book every day. But as you get closer to the Day of Judgment, people get lazy. So if even 1/7 of the Hizb al-Azam, if a person can do that, alhamdulillah, you will read so many beautiful du'as on a daily basis. And those people who have time, they should do so. But our elder Shaykhul Hadith is Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the author of Fada'il Amal, very great alim and a very pious person as well. In his era, he realized that people are even lazier now, or people are even busier, rather we should say. Shaykh Khazim Mawlana Salim Sahib Hafizahullah, when he encourages people to do something, to read the Quran, to take their time for dua, he sometimes says that there are two categories of people. Either you are lazy like me, or either people are lazy like me or busy like yourselves. So either one of the two reasons. But people are not willing to give the time anymore. So upon his instruction, an abridged Hizb al-Azam was made, which is we have a few copies in our masjid as well, and it's very easy to find. The abridged Hizb al-Azam, it's basically upon the instruction of Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib, one of his close associates, Sufi Iqbal Sahib rahmatullahi, he carefully chose some du'as from each section. So it is still arranged Monday to Wednesday, Monday to Sunday, 7 days. But each section takes like 3 to 5 minutes. Like this, there are many other booklets as well. As the Munajat Ali Thani rahmatullahi, Munajat al-Maqbul is very famous. In our masjid, we have a few other booklets. We have a booklet called Mu'awwadat, which is gathered by my teacher and Shaykh Azim Mawlana Salim Sahib, Hafidhahullah, which is also similar in length. It takes about 3 to 5 minutes, the daily section. And that book is especially for all the things which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sought refuge from. So if you open that book, you will see all the du'as are about seeking refuge for something. And if you read through the booklet, and the first thing I would advise everyone is, look, everything happens slowly. So to find one booklet, that whichever one appeases to you. I've suggested some, Al-Hizb al-Azam, Munajat al-Maqbool, Al-Mu'awwadat, the one we have in the masjid. Find one and pick a slot in your day. Like I said, it takes 3 to 5 minutes. Pick a slot in your day and just recite the daily section. And make a habit of it. And from time to time, look at the translation of the du'as as well. Because you will be left amazed with the things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for refuge from, which wouldn't even have crossed your mind. For example, one thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sort of made dua, one dua of his was that, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from laziness. Now, on the face of it, seems like a fairly standard dua. But if you think about it, laziness is probably the one thing that stops us from doing everything that we want to do. I can't make it to the masjid to perform salah. A chief ingredient will be laziness. Even our worldly matters, I know I have to do this. A chief ingredient will be laziness. If laziness is removed, so many tasks of this world and of the hereafter will be completed. Like this, you will find so many other du'as. So one thing that a person should also do is that take out a few minutes and read some du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with that, like I said, where you come across a dua, and especially sometimes you come across a dua and it stands out to you, that is something that fits my situation. It's something that is very appealing to me. So either learn it or note it down. Note it down, read it from time to time. But make a point of using the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our duas. So that is the first thing I wish to discuss today in this initial talk, which is that this is one method of dua. And we have mentioned a number of different methods. We said take out time, 3 minutes, 4 minutes after first salah. We said during your day, you know, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart and mind. Now this as well, that you bring one of these booklets into your ma'amulat, into your daily practices. All of this happens slowly. All of this happens slowly. Really, this cost doesn't achieve anything. Now don't get me wrong, don't go and kick. Ask for your money back. What I am saying is that it's not necessary for a person to hear something once. We all know ourselves. I know myself as well. I'm speaking from my own experience. You hear something once, and sometimes if Allah Ta'ala's fadl is with us, then the first time we get the tawfiq to start doing it. But often, even if we start doing it, then we do it for a few days, a few weeks. And we get lost in the woods again. Oh, the thought comes to our mind, but then we don't pay enough. It's mentioned twice, it's mentioned thrice, it's mentioned 4 times, and then maybe after a number of times you get the tawfiq. But alhamdulillah, you know, at least we are hearing all of this, quite possibly for the first time. But a person should keep going to the talks of the ulama. Sometimes we have fallen to this notion that I know everything there is. For my life, I know everything there is to know. When I sit in the Jummah Bayan or when I sit in another talk, I rarely hear something new. I rarely hear something new. So some ulama have said, in light of certain verses of the Quran, that whatever you know, but you are not practicing on, you are actually jahil and ignorant of it. So rather than counting what new things you have learnt in the Bayan, count which things there that you don't practice upon yet in the Bayan. I will guarantee you will be learning something new in every single bayan. And every time you hear, I've already heard it 5 times. It's not in your life yet. Maybe the 6th time will be the time that it comes into your life. And if it doesn't come into your life after this time, it may still contribute. It will take you one step further. Because of which maybe the next time you hear it, it will come in your life. So these things really need to be heard time and time again. So that is the first thing that mentioned. But today I also wish to mention another discussion, which is the conditions which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that without them dua is not accepted. And there are a few, there are only a handful. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are conditions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if you will have to have these if you want your dua to be accepted. Now that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. Sometimes a person doesn't have some of these conditions, he accepts it. Ulama have written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even accept the dua of a non-Muslim. In fact, there is an incident, in a nutshell, the incident between Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Shaytan, which is very famous, that Adam alayhi salam was commanded to do sajda to Shaytan. Shaytan was commanded to do sajda in front of Adam alayhi salam. It wasn't actually to Adam alayhi salam, to cut a long story short, but not go into the details. But he was given this command. He refused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, look, you are mardood, you are rejected. You are distanced from my mercy. You're not ready to follow my command. So at that time, Shaytan said, asked a question, and according to many mufassirin, this was a dua. What was the dua? That anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. That give me a long life until the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept the dua of whoever he wants. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these conditions. So we should pay attention to these conditions. Now, there is a small list. The first, and quite possibly the most important and the most emphasized condition in the hadith is halal income and halal food. Halal income and halal food. Haram food goes into a person's stomach, or haram income comes into a person's house. A person benefits from haram income. So this has many, many harms. But one chief harm of this is that a person's dua is no longer accepted. Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned an incident from the earlier eras of Islam that in the era after the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when certain rulers came who were not so religious. So at that time, as far as I remember, under when the Amir was in Marwan, then one of the governors was Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, very notorious figure, who martyred a very large number of Tabi'een and some Sahaba radiallahu anhu as well. But he was very, very intelligent. So he was appointed these governors. So the Amir switches them around depending on the capabilities. He sees that this area needs a different governor. They're not getting along with the governor. So maybe someone more stern is needed there. Maybe someone who is more acquainted with warfare is needed there. It's a dangerous place, etc. So governors are moved around. So Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was moved to a new place. And it was known about this place. He had become famous about this place. That whenever a governor comes, a new governor comes in charge of this place, then the people in this place, a significant number of them are mustajab with da'wah. People whose du'as are accepted. People whose du'as are definitely accepted because of their piety. It was known about this place. That there are a number of people who are mustajab with da'wah. And whenever such a governor is placed upon these people, who they dislike, who doesn't treat them well, he is very quickly removed because they make a dua for his removal and Allah Ta'ala very quickly just listens to the dua. So Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was appointed governor of this place. He came and as a welcoming, he invited everyone to a feast. He invited everyone to a feast. After they had finished eating the fil, he said, now I no longer fear these people's du'as because haram food has entered the stomachs. Now I don't have anything to fear. Their du'as will no longer be accepted. Haram food, it destroys the acceptance of du'as. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once he was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and then he said that Inna Allah tayyibun, Allah Ta'ala is pure. He is pure from any defects. وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. And he only accepts what is pure. That amal which is pure. Pure of any incorrect intentions. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the advices were carried on. Then he moved on and he said that Allah Ta'ala has given a certain command to the Anbiya alayhim salam. That means whenever a Nabi was sent down, Allah Ta'ala gave a certain command to him. Which is also mentioned in the glorious Quran. And he has commanded the believers to do the same thing. So there is a special command that Allah Ta'ala, whenever a Nabi is sent, he gives the Nabi that command specifically. And he has also commanded the mu'mineen to do this as well. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two verses. The first verse he mentioned was Ya ayyuhal rusul, O messengers, O prophets, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat from those things which are pure, which are halal. Wa'amalu saliha, and carry out good deeds. So this is a command to the Anbiya alayhi salam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the same command is given for the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O believers, eat from the pure things we have given you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it was an example. He said that a person is on a lengthy travel. Ahead we will discuss that in travel, du'as are accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. So a person is on a lengthy travel. His hair is disheveled. His clothes are dusty. Meaning he is in a sorry state. He is in a state that anyone would have mercy upon him. Any human, never mind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some difficulty has befallen him. Maybe his means are lost. Maybe he has ended up in the wrong place, whatever. He is struggling. So he lifts his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes dua that, Oh my Rabb. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So everything, it seems like there is such a person whose dua would be immediately accepted. Or very quickly. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, his food is haram. His drink is haram. His clothes are from haram income. Then how can his dua be accepted? So one thing that we need to be very, very careful about is making sure our food is halal and our income is halal. This will go a long way to making sure that our du'as are accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa khuldah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Astaghfiruka.